To begin, shlosha she'ochlu ka'achas chayovin lezamin. Three people who eat together, you have to define what it means to be together, okay? But if you eat together, chayovin lezamin, you must do whatever this concept of zimun entails, okay? Rashi gives us a little bit of a hint. Let's read that first Rashi on the perek. It's actually a very important Rashi. Lehizdamein yachad. Lezamin means lehizdamein. It's a little bit difficult because Rashi hasn't actually told it. He used the same word that we're trying to translate, right? So, Lizamein, in modern Hebrew, hazmana means who invites. Invite someone to do something, right? So lehizdamein yachad means, right, you're not inviting each other, but you are, an opportunity in Hebrew is a hizdamnut. Okay, so it is some sort of convening yachad, taking the opportunity when three people eat together to convene together, litzrof bracha b'loshon rabim kegon nevarach, to join as one, with a bracha that is shared by everybody, b'loshon rabim, which is nevarach. Okay, so that's important for a couple of reasons, just practically. We need to define what zimun is. The first thing we need to know is what zimun is not. Zimun is not rabosai nevarach. Okay, that is not zimun. Rabosai nevarach, number one, nor is it yishem Hashem nevarach tamid. That's not Zimun. Everything after that, we can start to talk about, right? Rashi told us. Zimun begins with Nivarech, and the significance of that is, Nivarech is plural, let us bench. We are making a blessing together as a group. I'm just going to share with you what the Mishabura mentions in this context, right at the beginning of Simen Kuf Tzadi Beis, which is the first section on Zimun. The Shulchan Aruch quotes exactly what we just read. Hayu mesubin shlosha chayavin b'zimun. Three people are eating together. Then they must do a zimun. She'omer echad mehem nevarech shachal mishlo. One person says, let us bench. Vehim onim v'omrim. The other people respond by saying, bar shachal mishlo v'tvochayinu. Okay? So the Mechaber makes no mention of what we do prior to zimun. Okay? Mishavura says, bazohar his hiru lomer b'fiv kodem b'rchaz azom. Hazimun. In the Zohar, Kabbalah, okay, everyone who thought they were real litvak, you know, when you say Rabbi Sain Barech, that is the Zohar. What does the Zohar say? The Zohar says that you should pronounce verbally what you're doing, Kodem Birchas Amazon, Tain Lanu Akosu Nevarech. Pass the cup so we can bless. Or Bo Nevarech. Come and let us wed. Svarim? Any Svarim in the room? No Svarim.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. How does Svarim begin benching? Havlan v'nivrach. Okay, that is Aramaic, and that actually does appear in the Gemara. The Gemara has a few stories about where the Tanaim and Amoraim were getting together, and they would always, as a prelude to the benching, to signal to everybody, okay, we're ready to bench. Havlan v'nivrach, bring over the cup, and let's start. Okay. So listen to what he says. This is the principle of the Zohar. Leficha kol davar shebekdusha tzorach hazmana v'peh over las yaso kedei lahamshech hakedusha. Any holy endeavor requires a statement, a verbal statement, and that's what brings the Kedusha down to the enterprise. Okay? Another classic example that Mishnah Berurah brings down elsewhere is when you put the cookies in the oven on Friday afternoon to bake for Shabbos, you say L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. And that brings the Kedusha to the cookies. Okay? Eat your way to Gan Eden. But you can't do it without the verbalization. Umized Nogin Lomar B'Lashon Ashkenaz, and that's why we say in Yiddish, Rabbi Sim Rivelin Benchen. Okay, so that's the basis for our practice. I hope over the course of our time in this parak, we'll break down all the different components. But Zimun begins with Nevarech Shachal Mishlo, as Rashi said very clearly. Back to the Mishnah. Shlosh Shachal Ka'achas Chayam Lezamein. Ochal Demai U'maisha Rishon Shnit L'Shumaso Maisha Sheni V'Hektish Sheniftu. If a person or this group eats any one of the four items on the menu, Demai Maisha Rishon Shinet l'tshumaso, maiser sheni, hekta shenifto. A quick review of what each one of those mean. Demai is let's go like this. What is the order in which a person needs to tie their food before they eat it? The first thing you take off is truma gedola, which goes to the kohen. How much do you have to give to the kohen? A tiny amount works on a Doraisa level. The recommended amount is either 140th, 150th, 160th, depending on how generous you are. That is truma gedola. The next thing you do is you take Maaser Rishon, which is 1/10, as the name implies, that goes to the Levi. Anyone can eat that. Not everyone can eat Truma Gedola, only the Kohen can. If you eat Truma Gedola and you're not a Kohen, you're Chayv Misa. But if you eat Maaser Rishon, a Levi is allowed to invite you to a Shabbos table and give you Maaser Rishon. The Levi, before he can eat his Maaser Rishon, however, first has to separate Trumas Maaser, which is another one-tenth that you give to, that he gives to the Kohen. Okay? So we got Truma, we have Maaser, and what the Levi takes off of that. Then we have, depending on the year, either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. In the Shemitah cycle, Shemitah, there's no Trumas and Maaser, so you're off the hook, because, you know, it's a free-for-all. You can come and take anything you want off the vine, off the farm. But years 1, 2, 4, 5, you give Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is what you bring to your Shalayim, and you have to eat it in the city. Maaser Ani is, you give to an opponent, okay? But years 1, 2, 4, 5, you take it to your Shalayim, and you can eat it there. I think when Rabbi Becher was here, he said that's, you know, like a crazy write-off. It's like some sort of tax fraud. You know, I separate Maaser and give it to myself. But Rav Kook said, the pshat is to remind us we're also Kohanim. Yisrael is also a Kohen. Okay, next time the Gabbai says to you, Kohen Yisrael, and you say, just a Kohen Levi, just Yisrael, Maaser Sheni. Okay, depends on what year in the cycle it is. Is it 1, 2, 4, 5, or is it 3 and 6? Okay, so if you, back in the day when the Jewish people came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the leadership noticed that not everyone was being so firm about separating Trumas and Maasers. And what was consistent that was that people were separating Truma because the stakes were very high, because if you eat Truma you're not supposed to, you are Chayev Misa. But people a little more lax when it came to Truma, to Maaser Sheni because, okay, you know, not the end of the world. So they instituted what's called Demai. Demai means the food is in doubt. I'm buying it from someone who doesn't have certification. Okay, if you go to Machane Yehuda today in Yerushalayim, behind every fruit stand is a big poster with the Hashkacha that certifies that they separate Truma and Maaser from whatever it is that has to be, tithed. Okay, but back in the day, they didn't have a fancy certification system. So it was either a person who was known with a good reputation or someone who wasn't. If it was a person without a good reputation, you buy, you know, like an avatiach stand on the side of the road in Eretz Yisrael, you have to separate just in case Maaser Sheni again, and then you can eat it. Okay, when nothing has been, when you haven't done your tithing, which is an important term, what's that called when you haven't yet separated it? It's called tevel. Okay, we'll get back to tevel a little bit later. So if a person is eating either demai, we'll talk about the situations down the road, why or when you might be able to eat demai, because we just said demai is a situation where you have to separate before you eat it. Demai, number one, Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon is, again, fair game. It's mutter for anyone to eat. It belongs to the Levi. Shenitlo Shumasu, provided that you have already separated the one-tenth that goes to the coin. Maaser Sheni, we just discussed, means I brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, and I'm eating it there. The Hekdesh Shaniftu, and Hekdesh means food that was consecrated. It was the property of the Beis HaMikdash for whatever reason. Someone decided to donate it, you know, to the Beis HaMikdash, and then they redeemed it, because you can always redeem whatever you get to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, they'll give you a receipt, send it to your accountant, and then it's permissible to eat once it has been redeemed. So any of these items, even though they started with something, I don't want to say it was tainted, but it wasn't 100% permissible. Once you overcome that, then a zimun. This is the key. The key in the Mishnah is that we're describing when it is you make a zimun. Okay? We'll get back to why I'm emphasizing that in a moment. Further on the list of where zimun does happen, Hashamish Ha'achal Kezayis. What's a shamish? Shamish is a waiter. Okay? So you had a servant. Or you go to a restaurant, and there's two people having a meeting. Two men, and they're eating their meal, and the waiter happens to be a firm guy. He walks by and says, that's really good. Can I have a little bit of that? Okay? And the Gemara actually seems to imply that that's okay, even though under normal circumstances that would be bad form at best, okay? If not gezel, okay? But because there is a priority of making a zimun, okay? It's a mitzvah to seek the performance of the zimun. The Rishonim say over here, it's Rov Am Hadras Melech. It elevates the nature of the bracha if you include more people. So we would include someone who is only, we'll say, tangentially at the meal. The reason why I think that's important, not just because, again, just like we redeemed the Hekdesh, so we got over a problem. The Shamish, who otherwise normally would be stealing, but because of his unique access to the meal, for the interest of the Zimun, we let it go, but it also should be just noted that we're also establishing what it means to be a Chabura. Right? The whole concept of Zimun is based on the understanding that we're together. If we have nothing to do with each other, right? Shlosha sha'achol ka'achas. That word ka'achas is critical. What does it mean that we're together? So when we get to the zimun, we understand that the ka'achas is the fact that we're benching together. But before you bench together, first you have to eat together. So you could have understood that, you know, some guy who's just working, he's the paid help over here, maybe he doesn't count as being part of the meal just because he happens to be standing there. Continues the Mishnah. What else? Hakusi. Hakusi mizam nulav. So the kusim, quick review. They are people who were transplanted from other lands by Sancheirav into Eretz Yisrael, and they did not have Jewish origins. They may have become Jewish at some point because of motivation to save their lives. They were being attacked by lions. It's something with a somewhat shady background, and it's a question, did they convert again? Did they go off the derech? What is their status? This is a machlokas tanaim all over Shas, back and forth, if Kusim have a legitimate status as Jews. This mission takes the position that a Kusi is a Jew. The closest thing we have to Kusim today, anyone ever visit the Shomronim? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So I went there, goes back a while, on Har Grizim. So they have a museum there, they purport, that to be members of the Jewish nation, although they definitely have their own practices. The mezuzah is engraved into the above the lintel with like a plaque, and they use the old Hebrew, the Ksav Ivri that no one uses anymore. It was November, and he was sitting in a sukkah, which was in his living room. And I wanted to ask him how he knew what an esrog was, because esrog is Torah Baal Peh, and they, by and large, rejected Torah Baal Peh. But I didn't bother because he had a big picture of him shaking hands with Arafat in his living room. So I said, I don't think there's really that much to talk about over here. Thank you so much. Gave him his shekel for the access to it was a fascinating museum. But okay, in any case, Hakusi Mizamna love this mission adopts the principle that it is acceptable for him to join the Zeman. Okay. Achal Tevel, Maiser Rishon, Tlonet Trumaso. However, if the meal consisted of Tevel, Tevel is food that you can't eat. It's when I haven't separated the Truma and the Maiser and so on. Or Maiser Rishon, I've already given it to the Levi, but he hasn't taken off his portion. Maiser Sheni, the Hektish, Shalom Niftu. Maiser Sheni or Hektish had not been redeemed. Hektish, we discussed, it could be redeemed if you, again, you consecrate it and then you take the Kedusha off of it by exchange of money. Maiser Sheni, the Torah says, the relevance of redemption over there is if I have a farm up in the Galil and I have bushels and bushels of whatever fruit it is that I want to bring to Yerushalayim, it may not be practical for me to hold it all the way, so I can transfer the Kedusha of the Maaser Sheni onto the money, bring the money to Yerushalayim and eat it there, and that's what we're discussing. So here, in the case that I did not redeem the food, and it's not prohibited for me to, not permitted for me to eat in the Galil, or Hashem Mishachal Pachos Mikazayis, what if that waiter who was hanging around by the meal and he partook, he ate less than a kezias, or hanochri, someone who is not Jewish whatsoever by any standards, ein mizam nalav. So ein mizam nalav means you can't include anyone who's eating that food as part of the zimun. So that's important. The way the Mishnah phrases that teaches us, it's not just that if all three people are eating tevel, but if one of the people happens to be eating tevel, he is disqualified from joining the zimun and making a number of three. Okay? What we derive from this, beyond the strict limitations of Zimun, is very consequential. There's a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, how to understand this Mishnah. We clearly, let's use Tevel as an example of, we'll just call it Treif, okay? You could substitute Tevel for anything else that you're not allowed to eat. Happens to be Tevel is worse than eating ham, but it's still usher. So should we derive from here only the simple read of the Mishnah, which is, you eat this, you're not supposed to eat it, but if you did, you don't make a zimun. But what about the bracha itself? Do I make a bracha before I eat treif? After I eat treif, right? Are we discussing benching over here? That's not the simple understanding of the Mishnah. The simple understanding of the Mishnah is you can't have a zimun on something that's treif, but you would still bench, right? So if I ask what's the halach, what do you think? Okay. Good, very good, very good. We'll get to that. Sam is referring to a pasuk that's quoted in the Gemara, that if you, let's say, I steal a lulav, right? If I steal a lulav, not allowed to use that lulav, and if I make a bracha on the lulav, that's botzeya berach nietz Hashem. To make a blessing is provoking the anger of Hashem. Nietz is like in Hashem, we say niatznu. We provoked Hashem, right? So it's like a slap in the face. Hashem, I'm going to do a mitzvah with stolen goods, with contraband, something I'm not even allowed to eat in the first place, and I'm going to make a bracha on it. That's the ultimate, disrespect. So based on that svar, I wouldn't be able to make a bracha. So it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. And I'll read to you what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Some in Kuf Tzadi Dalet, I think. No, Kuf Tzadi Tes. Ochal Dvar Iser. Apo Pishenu Aser El Midrabanan. Ein Mizamnalov. If a person eats something that's prohibited, doesn't matter if it's an Issur D'oraisa or an Issur D'rabbanan, there's no bracha to be recited before or afterwards, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes the pasuk that Sam quoted before. Okay, there's an aveira to eat it, so you can't make a bracha on it. Okay, that's how we paskin, following the opinion of the Rambam. But it's not pashup shot in this Gemara at all. However, the next line of Shulchan Aruch says, if you ate it in a makam of sakana, then you do make a bracha on it. Okay, you wouldn't make a bracha if you're eating it in sakana. Okay, or, you know, on Yom Kippur, a person's very sick, and they have to eat on Yom Kippur, you make a bracha there also. That's a little bit different, because that's not fundamentally treif, it's an Isra Gavra. It's that I'm not allowed to eat now because of Yom Kippur, but the food itself fundamentally is okay. Okay, all right, we're going to come back to that. Actually, you know what, let's go to the Tosfos. There's a fascinating Tosfos over here. It's the Tosfos on the first white line, Achal Tevel Ein Mezamen Alav. Okay? Achal Tevel Ein Mezamen Alav. Everyone with me? So far, we didn't finish the mission yet, don't worry, but we learned that you don't make a Zimun on prohibited foods, and we saw the Rambam extends that to bracha before, bracha afterwards as well. Tema, tell us to ask a question. Yeah, Tema, dam rinner be'erichin. Gemara says in Erichin, hakol mitzar from the zimun, kohanim levim Yisrael. There's a line over there, Brisa, that says that anyone who eats together can combine to form a zimun, and the Gemara says, what is, you know, what is hakol? Hakol isuyemai. What's the chiddush of hakol? Anyone? We know anyone, right? They're Jewish, they count. Even if it's kohanim, levim, and Israel eating together. Ask the Gemara, uparech, pshita. Right? They're all Jewish. They're all chayv and mitzvos. Why do you need to tell me? Oh, kohanim, levim, and Israel can eat together and make a zimun. Umeshani, the Gemara answers, lo tzricha, avagav de kohen, ochot truma, bisrael chulin. What if they're eating foods that the other one can't necessarily eat? Right? There's a little bit of a curveball. We only discussed kosher versus not kosher. What if it's kosher for you and not kosher for me? Okay? Which, by the way, as you'd expect, there's a machlokas haposkin discussing the same permutation where what if it's a hashkacha that I eat and it's a hashkacha you don't eat? Okay? What if it's a little bit funny, but what if I only eat hand shmur matzahs at the Seder and you eat machine matzahs at the Seder? Right? So can we still combine to... What?
With Sephardi
using. Sephardi, okay. I don't want to go into that right now, but what I will share with you in a moment, once we see the Tosfos, is what if we're sitting at the same table, you're eating milk, and I'm eating fleishiks? That's a very practical case, yeah. Right? Can we combine to make a zimun? Okay, so let's see. Make a zimun. Let's see. So what does it say over there? It says over there that the chiddush is that you can make a zimun even if the kohen is even eating truma and the Yisrael is eating chulin. Alma, we see from there, afagav the truma asur liYisrael, even though Yisrael is not allowed to eat the truma, achrei shakohen yachol etzarif im Yisrael lechol b'chulin, since the kohen, in theory, could reach to the other side of the table and take some of his French fries, okay? Because those French fries are not permissible. They're regular Yisrael French fries, right? He can't reach over the table and take my French fries because he's Yisrael and I'm a Kohen. But the other way works. So fundamentally, there is still the glue of the Zimun that we are. Here's the key: we're eating together, right? Beyachad, exactly. The Mishnah's definition of Shosha Sha'achlu Beyachad now extends to even we'll say when it's unilateral, it's not bilateral. Okay, continue to Tosos. So mitzar from the Zimun. V'achanami. So Tosos now says Nehi dechad minayu ochal. Tevel, Dein Roy Lacherim, Amai in Mizamnin. So he says, okay, so one of them is eating Tevel, right? For sure, if all three are eating Tevel, that's no good. That's what we said before. That's not a Zimun. But if one of them is eating Tevel, but the other two people are not eating Tevel, so the guy who's eating Tevel could reach to the other side of the table and take some of their kosher food. So why doesn't that constitute a Yachad that we're eating all together? We have a Zimun. That's also his question, okay? Question is, over there we see that not every person needs to be able to eat all the food at the table as long as there's someone who can bridge the gap. So the same thing should apply over here also. When one person's eating tevel, but he could still partake of the other person's food, why doesn't that help to make a zimun? V'yesh lomar, da'achilas tevel lav shma achila, de'lo chazi af l'kohen. That's very interesting. He says tevel, you eat something you're not allowed to eat like tevel, it's like you didn't eat at all. Okay? Like you didn't eat at all. Now, how far to go with that is something interesting, right? It may play into the shiloh we just asked before, right? Tosas may hold that there's no bracha before and there's no bracha after, right? This is not v'chalta v'savata v'erachta to bench after you eat tevel, because categorically, the halacha makes it not eating. Could be he's also just telling you there's no zimun on that. We have to think about that. But when it comes to something that's treif, it's like I didn't eat at all. So it doesn't matter if, in theory, I could eat from your food, but I haven't done that yet, so I haven't even eaten anything. Right? It's not like when I'm a Yisrael and you're a Kohen. So the Kohen eats plenty of his food and he could also eat some of my food. But if the Kohen didn't eat at all, how can you say there's not a place of Zimun? That's not Shloksha Sha'achlu
B'Yachar. He ate Tevel on Yom Kippur.
He ate Tevel on Yom Kippur. But and he's sick. He's not sick. I mean, tell is still a problem. Tell is always a problem. Yeah, no Jews allowed to eat tell.
Right. If it's not
lokas yachiva,
then are you over?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It means for the purposes of the chiyuv of the bracha. Yeah, nice try. Okay. Avotruma chola pachas ru'uy lakoin ha'ochla. However, if we're talking about truma like in Nakamar and Erechin, but at least the kohen could eat it if he wanted to eat it, right? So that's exactly, you know, the point. The tevel is different because no one can eat it. The truma is at least theoretically mutter to somebody, even if not everyone can eat it. One thing to point out over here, this is very interesting because it does shed light on a very fundamental question. Why can't a kohen eat tevel? Why can't he eat tevel? What's the problem? Tevel's usher to eat because I have yet separate truma. Kohen doesn't need to separate truma. He's going to eat the truma, right? So why can't he eat tevel? So this Soloveitchik pointed out opens up a new window into understanding what tevel is. And the way that my Rebbe illustrated this is, you know, the Rambam has the Yad HaChazaka, 14-volume Mishnah Torah, right? And the greatness, the major contribution to rabbinic literature that the Rambam gave us was that he took all the Shas and he organized things not by Masechta, but by topic. Sometimes the Rambam surprises you as to where and what sequence he brings a different dinim, but the Rambam wasn't haphazard. On the contrary, he's teaching you between the lines interesting background information that will help you understand more about the halacha based on where he places it. So I guess you sort of have to know what the fourth, if you can see them up there, you know, that maroon set with gold stamp on the side, that's the Rambam. So the Rambam has Mada, Zmanim, Noshim, Kedushim, Kedusha, sorry, Hafla, Zeraim. Where would you imagine the laws of Tevel would be found? In Zeraim, right? My knee-jerk reaction would be in Zeraim. There's Truma, there's Maaser, there's Tevel, because it's the absence of the Truma. The Rambam puts it in Ma'acholos Asuros. Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros. To be precise, the Rambam introduces the Perek. This is very cool. He opens up after talking about Shechita and Kashrus, that, you know, and that category. He then in the 10th parak he says, "Kol Yisurin Sharmarno Hein B'Minim Nefesh Chaya." The first 9 prakim of this section was about tarfus that comes from animals, Shechita, not Shechita, etc. The Yesh Yisurin Achirim Shel Torah. There are other Yisurin Doraisa Bezer Haaretz that have to do with Zeraim, agriculture. Vehein hachadash, klaya kerem, mixing together, you know, grafting that you're not supposed to. Hatevel, the ha'orla. Tevel and orla. What's orla? Orla is when the tree, the first 3 years, right? So he snuck tevel in there, even though I could have put it in Zeraim together with Truman Meiser. You see from here that tevel, in the words of the Rav, is, I think he said it like this, is a bezunder chalos shem machosasurus. It's a unique category of treif. It's not simply the absence of separating the Truman Meiser. And the raya is, the Kohen can't eat it. The Kohen can't eat it because otherwise it was just a mixture of Truma and Chulin. If that's essentially what Tevel was, okay, then Kohen should be able to eat it and you'd put it in the laws of Truma. It has its own status as a separate category of halacha, and therefore the Rambam categorizes it as such together with Orla. Even though Orla, right, Orla has nothing to do with Truma. Orla is a unique prohibition that in the first 3 years of the tree you can't eat it. Okay? Everything I just told you is a distillation of an essay by Rav Yosef Engel. Yosef Engel was a tremendous genius. He lived about 150 years ago, and he has a sefer where he discusses various chakiros that take you all the way through Shas. This question of whether or not tevel is a mixture of truma and chulin, or is it its own designation, its own classification, you can go through all Shas and you can evaluate. But here, I think it comes to bear. You know, it's relevant at least over here. The kohen, he could in theory eat truma. He can't even, in theory, eat tevel because it's so divorced from the heter. Until you separate it, it as far as we're concerned, it's like he didn't eat at all for these dinim. Okay?
So before him, yeah. So Cohen actually separate out the truma.
Exactly. Even if he eats it himself.
And then he can put it back together.
Exactly. And that's what happens. Anyone ever? Oh, this is great. Thank you for bringing it up, Mark. Let's say someone, okay, separates, makes a big batch of dough and they want to separate challah. Okay? So you take off a little chunk, and you know, okay, people burn it, they wrap it up, whatever they do with it, right? It's not an uncommon shaila that you put it down for a second, you look away, and your little kids came and then Play-Doh, you know, they put it all back together again, and now the truma is stuck inside the bigger isa. So there's a number of ways to deal with that, but one way to deal with that is feed it to a family of kohanim. And there's even ways we can do that bizman hazeh in theory. A little kid, what?
Feed it to a
Kohanim. Feed it to a Kohanim. Okay, because what is it now essentially? It's now a mixture of permissible food and truma. And for Kohen, that should not be a problem to eat. Exactly as you said. Yeah.
Just take it out again?
Well, dough, you can't do it with dough. Dough is all mixed together. You can't, you're not going to be able to isolate the part that the kid... okay, that's a whole different topic. That's easier to talk about. The Mishnayos talk about cases where like a stalk of grain fell in, and there's 200 other or 100 other stalks of grain, then we could just pull one out. But here we're talking about it's all one mash of dough. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just curious because you mentioned that tefillah is considered even worse than eating trash. So, So what was the status of arla? Where does that fit in?
Arla still is a lo sase. Arla does have an additional chumrah to it that it's usher in hana as well, right? Is that arla usher hana, right? Arla and klai akar. So in that regard, it is more strict than tevel. Tevel you can get hana from, perhaps certain types of hana, but it doesn't carry. Tevel punishment for eating tevel is misa b'dei shamayim, and truma is kari. No, truma is also misa b'dei shamayim. Sorry, I take that all back. Misa b'dei shamayim. I apologize. Truma, Tevel, is Misa B'dei Shemai. Okay?
Like the same chumra, the same status?
As what? As
I'm saying he's eating Tevel.
Tevel and Truma are similar, but Orla is only Malchus. Okay? Okay. Just to end off with something halachal maisa, so what about the milchus and the fleshiks? So, I'll tell you the halachal and one way to get around it. The halachal the Mishnah Berurah says is... Huadin, kisha echad ochel chalav o gvina vashnayim basar. One person's eating milk, two people are eating fleishik, mitzdarfin. Sha ochel gvina hara yachol lechol milachmam. Because, strictly speaking, the person who's eating milk could eat from what they're eating, right? Av bishum luchok bebasar. Even if the bread has remnants of fleishiks on it, right? As long as he cleans out his mouth, yikaneach piv v'yadichanu. Strictly speaking, the halacha is, if you eat milchiks, you don't actually have to wait. There's a widespread minhag to wait a little bit, but strictly speaking, if you wash your hands and clean out your mouth properly, you can go right from milchiks to fleishiks in the same meal without even having to bench. Okay? So that would allow what we're talking about, right? But there's a curveball over here, which, right, no one has to bench for milchiks or for fleishiks. If you eat cheese, you don't have to bench. If you have a hot dog without a bun, you don't have to bench. This whole discussion is only relevant to the bread at the meal. Okay? So it is true that you're not supposed to use the challah on the table for the Shabbos meal and everyone's passing around the cholent. Right? You're not supposed to then eat that with a milchik meal the next day because it's very easy to get messed up. But if you had a milchik and fleishik, you know, combination like this, there's a restaurant in the city. No, is it still open? Milk Street, whatever that was called. Used to be in the OU building.
It's very possible, like three coworkers are eating at the same table.
Okay, right. So if you had a loaf of bread that you sliced up in different pieces, and we didn't like pass it out, we kept some pot of bread on the side, accessible that wouldn't become contaminated, so to speak. So then, essentially, we are being mezamein together over parv, right? Just the fact you had some cheese and I had a hot dog, but we're being mezamein over parv. So in that regard, it's really not as complicated as the truma and the tevel, where the bread itself could be subject to those prohibitions. Okay? All right, okay, that's a separate question is, right, is it permissible to be at the same table? Do you need some other type of heker? But let's assume they're on, you know, their own placemat, their own clearly defined space, where, you know, that's a general, even if you're not making a zimun, but you still have to have a boundary if you're eating, you know, at least with someone you know who you're friendly with, milk and fleishiks, because you might actually reach for their french fries and you're not supposed to. Okay. Right. Good. Good. 100%. The reason why. Right. That's the misconception for the fleishik people, for the men out there who don't necessarily want to compromise and have a milchik meal on Shavuos. So the Dvar Torah that they should say just very quickly is It's not the pshat. Usually we say, why do we have milchus on Shavuos? The classic example, explanation the Mishnah Berurah says is because they came back from Har Sinai. All of a sudden there's a complicated, you know, list of halachos, shechita and malicha and salty and everything. So we just said, have some cheese, right? So that's one pshat. But the reason for milchus that the Ramah brings in Shulchan Aruch is that two loaves of bread corresponds to the luchos that we got in Shavuos. Why would anyone need two loaves of bread? Because there's a halach, like we said, that you can't have the same bread at the meal for milchiks and fleishiks. So we dafka have milchiks, finish the milchiks, to then go on to fleishiks, because every yontem meal should have fleishiks. And because I want to have two sets of bread, I have the milchiks first so that I have to bring out another set of bread to eat with the fleishiks. So it's not that there's an inin to eat milchiks on Shavuos according to the Ramah, it's that it's an excuse to bring out some more bread. Okay, so carb diet, you know
what? Two sets of milk and two sets of
Perhaps. Yeah, how it works with the luchos, I'm not sure. Maybe one will be a milchik loaf, a fleishik loaf. Okay, but the point is that to have two separate, you know.
You don't necessarily have to bench between the milk and the fleishik.
Exactly, that's the point. If you did, then that would mess up the zimun, right? It's 100% true. It's not required to bench in between milk and fleishik. You just got to make sure it doesn't get confusing or you know, cross-contaminated. Okay, all right, yeah.
Person eating tevel, is there something in there that he shouldn't be bent? Let's say the person ate tevel and said he can't bend, he can't be part of Zimun. But you can give him a cookie and say, eat a cookie. Would you say, in theory, you shouldn't do it because the person's not be part, you know, showing they doesn't. In other words,
if he's eating tevel. You're saying, do him a favor, a little kiruv, give him some bread, right? And say, please join our Zimun.
You need to eat bread, right?
On the third guy, we just have a cookie.
The question is, you say you shouldn't do it because you're benching now. You're including in your group a person who's...
We'll see. There's a Mishnah later that says who you're allowed to include in your Zimun. Okay, we'll talk about it then. I'll just add, there's one point that Mishnah Berurah mentioned. When you have one of these intermarriages, okay, between two guys who are eating fleishiks and one guy's eating milchiks, I'm going to make a Zimun. So who should be the one to lead the benching based on the Tosos?
Me. The Kohen.
Coming from a Levi, you know that... Exactly, right. The one who could be the crossover, the guy who ate the milchiks, he should be the one to bench because he's the one who Taka can bridge the chevra together to make the chabura. Okay, it's not ma'aki, but that's ideal. Okay, or the guy who eats the machine matzahs, you know, or the whatever.
Because he could have meat
fish
right after.
Again. Fish is not, you don't bench on fish. It really comes down to what the status of the bread is, right? There's no prohibition to have different challah for the fish course, and then, you know, when you get rid of the filter fish, you bring out the challah. No one brings that new challah for that, right? So if you had people eating at the table together, one guy was eating fish, the other guys were eating meat, it would not be the same shiloh, because we're all out to share the same bread. Okay?
Some Sfarim consider...
Right, Sfarim don't eat milchiks and fish together. Right. But again, it comes down to what we're benching on, which is really the bread. Okay? There's a discussion over here. One person is makbid about pasta shalom, the other person's not. Same Shiloh, right? Okay. Let's learn the Mishnah. Okay, we're at the end of the Mishnah. Noshim v'avadim
m'ketanim. You have to agree to the Mishnah before.
Okay. That's a good question. I'll give you a short answer. But
people sitting in separate.
Good. Okay, so you're asking a question which, that's going to take us through the parak. These are the interesting Shilohs that we have to get to. But for the moment, we're talking about three people who, for all intents and purposes, they're planning to, you know, they're sitting down to eat. One thing which we'll mention, one thing in the Tosas over here, there is a point in the Tosas which is very important. Let's read the previous Tosas, Shlosha Sha'achlu. Thank you for bringing that up, Doctor. Look at the end of Tosas Shlosha Sha'achlu, right before the lines get wide. Hachi Perusha. It's an abbreviation. Vav Hei Pei. Hachi Perusha. Okay, Tosas gives a Psak Halach, and I think this, what Tosas says right now is pretty much accepted practically. Hachi Perusha. Nasnu Daitam Lecho. If three people, again, intend to join together for a meal, Klomar, Shizchilu Metchila Lecho Biachad, we all sit down, we all wash, and we make Hamotzi at the same time. Zeu Betchila. Oz Vadai Chovas Zimun Aleihem. Without question, if we wash and we sit down and eat bread together, that, from the moment that we join, at that point, the obligation to perform the Zimun when we bench already kicks in. We haven't finished the meal yet, so we have no chiyuv to bench, but when that chiyuv occurs, it will also have a Zimun attached to it because we concretely were mitzaref as a group of three.
So does that mean that one person?
Josh, give me, let's get the principle. I'm sorry to cut you off. Just let's get the idea behind it. Okay, second to last narrow line. He's quoting from Yerushalmi with another scenario. Klomar, here's the description. Let's say there's a guy sitting by himself at the table, and someone walks in and sees his friend, and he says, "Oh, you know, there's my friend. I'm going to sit down next to him." The first guy's already done his meal. He already had a kazayis of bread. Three of them, right? Two people are sitting at the table. One guy comes and says, "Oh, I'm going to join you." If they finish eating together, they didn't start together. That was case number one. Case number two, they didn't start together, but they ended together. Chayav and lazame. Then that would also carry with the obligation for zimun. Aval rishon ligmor zebelo ze ulavarach. But in theory, if they wanted to finish before the other ones have finished, okay, meaning if we didn't start together and we also didn't finish together, then it's every man for himself. But if we either started together or we finished together, so then that creates what we call the kvias, the established chabura of three people eating together, that's chayav and zimun. But if we could have sat together for an hour, but we didn't start at the same time, we didn't end at the same time, so then I'm allowed to just bench and leave on my own time. Okay, make sense? That answer your question?
Well, sort of. Is there a chiv? Is a chiv for someone if they started eating at the same time and also they have to leave?
Somebody has to leave.
Okay, so we're going to talk. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. That's coming up in another blot and a half or so. Yeah.
Means three men.
That next line of the mission is going to address that question. Okay, just hold your horses. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Go to a wedding. Are you allowed to bench, even with a mis- of three, because you're not saying a lokenu, if you're just doing three, before everybody had benches together to show brachos? Like you want to leave early?
Okay, great. That is a classic question. Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva about that. Let's get our feet wet and then, you know, address that very important question, okay? You're asking, you know, am I ever stuck? You know, which is what Josh is asking also. Am I ever stuck? So I'll just say for, you know, at least the illustration you gave, a wedding is a huge hall. And, you know, if someone's on the other side of the room, you're talking about the first 10 people in the room, right? The other person on the other side of the room, we don't have to worry about that. But we do need to worry at least about the people at the table. But you could argue that a wedding is different because there's a very, you know, intentional connection. You know, we're all here for the same Sudas Mitzvah. Okay, we shall see. We shall see, Mir Sashem. Okay, continuing the Mishnah, Dr. Donath, this one's for you. Noshim vavadim uketanim ein mizam nalem. Noshim, women, avadim, servants. Now we're talking about an Eved Kanani who is at least, you know, to some degree Jewish. How we define him precisely is a good question, but he's definitely chayiv in the mitzvos, of that a woman's chayiv in those that are not zman and grama. Okay? He doesn't have all of the mitzvos, but he definitely has a good chunk of the mitzvos. And nevertheless, noshim avadim are not counted towards the zimun. Ketanim, and someone who's under bar mitzvah, also, ein mizam nalem. We don't include them, even if they're holding a chumash or whatever, they don't count as number three for a zimun. Okay?
A loaf of bread.
What's that? A loaf of bread. Even if he's holding a loaf of bread, very good.
Okay. Talking about two men with a woman who's with them.
That's a great question. That's a great question. Stay tuned. Stay tuned for the next Amar. Stay tuned. There's those permutations and there's more permutations, right? We'll talk about the different numbers and what the Mishnah means. Not this week, maybe next week, Mr. Shem. Although, I'm not sure what's happening next week. Next week, I may be out of town for Hanukkah. We'll see to be continued.
I just don't understand the logic behind it, because if the minyan is 10 people who have the same obligation, right?
Okay.
And women also have to bench, so therefore they have the same obligation.
They have an obligation to bench, but they may not have an obligation of zimun.
So that's why I'm asking, what's the difference?
Okay, great question. You'll have to wait and see. Okay. It's a good question. It's a very good question.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't prepare. I don't know what comes next. But I heard this. I still get the next. Got to protect myself. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Ad kama mizamnin. Ad kama mizamnin. Rashi says, the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Kama yochal imohem v'yischayev imohem b'zimon. How much do you have to eat? And, you know, for that shear, for that quantity, to obligate you in zimun, okay, which, Dr. Dillon, just to give a quick rebuttal, it seems almost as if we're addressing that question in a vacuum, and we're not asking, well, how much do you have to eat to bench, right? The fact that we can evaluate this question, at least it seems that way, in its own right shows you that Zimun, I have to be honest, one of the major questions that's going to take us through the paragraph is also, and I invite you to pipe up whenever you sense a clue, what is Zimun? What is Zimun? We didn't even learn what the source is. We're going to see that next time, Mr. Hashem. But what is Zimun? Is it part of benching? Is it an introduction to benching? Is it a bracha in its own right? Is it just a prelude to the bracha? But part of what you're asking is, to what extent is it linked? Is it part and parcel of the benching? Or is it something that's... What?
Why is it different than benching?
Okay.
I think you have the same criteria.
Okay. If it's the same. Maybe it's not the same. Maybe it's not the same.
I have an
right. If maybe all that it does is there's benching, and then there's a way to transfer the benching into the plural, right? Like Rashi said, to bench b'lashon rabim kigon nevarich. So it's enhancing the benching, but it may not be the benching itself. We'll see.
I have another question about this.
I have seen
this situation when three Jewish men were eating together, but one of them was not from Israel and was not going to bench.
Okay. So, that's another good question. So Mike asked before, who do we include in our benching? Right. Stay tuned. Okay.
At work, it can happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Questions, does it have to be a foreign guy?
No, that's what we're talking about. That's exactly the question. Okay, stay tuned. I kavim zamen. So, how much do you have to eat in order for the zimun to be obligated in the zimun? Okay, or as Rashi says, if they offer me the cup, right? This is a weekly affair for me. Shal shuris. I didn't wash. You sponsored. I still didn't wash. Okay. So how much do you have to eat? Kazayas kibetza. So that's the machlokas hanayim. I kavim zamen. I kazayas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. I kibetza. So Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as we ate a kazayas, that's enough. If you, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have a kibetza. Now let's look at this mishnah a little more carefully. Now this, what's that?
Kazayas of bread.
A kazayas of bread, right. Kazayas of bread. If you had a kazayas of cheese, thank you. If it's a kazayas of cheese, that's not going to help you because you're not chayav to bench. Well, let's focus on benching for the moment. You want like a number?
No, seriously.
A kazayas, when it comes to matzah, I'll tell you a little secret. The absolute smallest size of a matzah is 1/15th of a large hand matzah.
They don't use the
sheet anymore?
I'm talking about bread.
You didn't just come home from yeshiva, okay? You're asking your local Orthodox rabbi. If a person is unable to handle the more substantial shiurim, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to eat more. Okay, we try to eat more, right? We eat a lot, Baruch Hashem. But the absolute lowest number that we could come to is something in the range of 1/15th of a large hand matzah. Okay, one fluid ounce, the volume of one fluid ounce.
What constitutes a kalah?
What?
What constitutes a kalah?
Bread. Oh no. Joe is asking. This is a very important question. Very, very, very important question. If you would eat one kazayas of challah or bread, you could, so to speak, bifurcate further and say, well, there's water and there's eggs and there's salt and there's other ingredients, but it's not all flour, right? What am I benching on? I'm benching on the grain component as opposed to the cheese, okay? If you eat a cookie, so there could be chocolate chips in there and there's sugar and everything else, right? So this is an age-old shaila. What does it take to eat a mizonos? So there's some people who are very machmir about their cookies, you know. They make sure to eat a kashir. But the Mishnah Berurah says the minhag olam is to assess a cookie or the bread with its volume as it appears in front of you. So there is a question about like sponge cake, can I squish it a little bit, you know, because it's a sheer volume. But let's assume for the moment, you know, a chocolate chip cookie, the minhag olam is to look at it as it appears. What would be its volume if I crush it up? Can I fit it in a shot glass? A shot glass is around, it's approximately kazayas, one fluid ounce. Okay? Now, where does this come from? This is very important. Yes. That is a very good question. I'll answer because it's not in our parak. How much do you have to wash on? Okay. You're giving me a run for my money today. So there's a machlokas poskim. Whether or not the obligation to wash until shadayim begins at a kazayas of bread or kibetz of bread. And the reason why it would be different, because again, benching, we pass in kazayas. The machlokas hanayim over here, we pass in a kazayas is all you need in order to bench, a smaller amount. A kibetz is approximately double kazayas. Okay? But even if I would have to bench on a kazayas, I believe most poskim hold that you do not need to wash. I should take it back. Many poskim hold do not need to wash unless I'm eating kibbetza bread, which in theory, this is wild. According to those poskim, if I wash and I have a slice of bread, I eat a quantity that's less than an olive's worth, and I had washed and made in tefillah sedayim, you could argue, if I never planned on having anything more, that's a bracha latala. If I was, this actually brings back my joke from last time, okay? If I was intending on having perhaps a large quantity of bread, I ended up only having a small amount, so remember that the shaila of the ritva. If I wash for a sandwich and then I don't eat it, you don't say, right? You're yotze. At the time I made the bracha, it wasn't a bracha latala, it was very much intentional, right? But it is correct that there is a lower shear beneath which, if you would take a single pita chip, right? We do this at home. You take a single pita chip, you make hamotzi on it, and you don't wash. Halacha l'maisa. What's that? Okay. Single pita chip is certainly less than a gezias.
And do you bench after that?
No. Of course you don't bench. You don't have a gezias.
You go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
You don't want to think of what breakfast to make on the food. Okay. Go to the washing sink. Right. Have a small piece of bread over there right. Next to you.
You should have a gezias. You should have a minimum of a gezias of bread.
They give you a small piece of bread over there.
Set. That is a fancy restaurant if they don't even give a slice of bread. No,
have cut up into small little cubes a piece of bread. So that when you wash, have a piece of bread.
Oh, no, but when you get back to the table.
Not always, there's no bread at the table.
Used to be they gave you, some bread at the table.
You take a shot glass.
Take a few of them.
They don't give you just a little roll. They don't give
you. Eat the whole plate
of pieces of bread. A gezias bread. You need that for hamotzi to cover to have its superior effects. Shabbos eyes. Shabbos eyes.
Two or three pieces of the small bread that they put out there.
Yeah, they're not mockfit. They're throwing that out.
It's also after you make the. Sometimes you grab a tiny piece of bread so you can speak. Is that the same thing? You should really eat it.
Oh, okay. So let me just answer Mike's question. Very excellent question. But let's try to.
What's the question again?
Mike asked let's say I plan on having a full sandwich. When I wash and I make a hamotzi, at that moment, am I obligated to eat a larger quantity or over the course of the meal? So the answer is there's no chiv to eat right away any more than just a nibble. But you have to keep in mind that you can't bench all these things. The kazais that you eat has to be tok kedei achilas pras. It has to be within a window of a few minutes, right? The same way the matzah, you can't stretch out the matzah the whole night. Right. It has to be within a few minutes. So too for the kazais to constitute a kazais legitimately, with the chiyah benching and everything else we're discussing. So the Prima Gadim recommends that you might as well just have a gezunta piece of challah right to start off the meal. But strictly speaking, you're not obligated to do so as long as at some point within that window of a few minutes, you actually have to think a little bit when you eat, It's a good way to lose a few pounds,
Even very complicated.
I didn't ask these questions. I'm ready to go by it, okay? So how do we get into... Oh, okay, so we have 3 minutes left. Let's take a look at Daf Mem Tes, which is really the source of this dispute, or it's at least it's associated. Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, I believe. Yeah, a few lines before the Mishnah, when it gets wide, there's a brisa there. Mem Tes Amud Beis, the second wide line towards the end. Rav Meir Savar. V'achalta, we're talking about the pasuk of v'achalta v'savata v'irachta, v'achalta zu achila. When Torah says you shall eat, right? Inevitably, I'm going to benching. That's what it says at the end of the pasuk. V'achalta you eat zu achila. That's eating. V'savata zu shesia. That is drinking. Okay. V'achila v'kezayas. And Rameir says, Torah says, in order to bench, you have to eat. What is eating? Right. When it says be'erev tochlu matzos, achila means a kezayas. So achil by kezayis by matzah means a kezayis. Achil by benching means a kezayis. Rabbi Huda, what did Rabbi Huda call the Mishnah kibetza? Savar v'achalta v'savata. Put those two together, and you come out with achila sheyesh ba sevia. Ve'ezuzu kibetza. Okay, ve'ezuzu kibetza. So that's how he comes to the conclusion, seemingly on a doraisa level. Unless you are satisfied, you're not chayv midoraisa. Even though you may not be chayv to bench midoraisa, we hold that you're chayv to bench on a derabana level just by eating a kezayis. Okay? One thing just to take, the closing shot, fascinating thing that comes out from this Gemara, right? This machlokes tanaim is what is a doraisa requirement to get you to benching. So one opinion is sevia. What's the other opinion? Shasia. You're not chayiv to bench doraisa according to that opinion unless you drank as well. And for that reason,
anything.
Yeah, anything. A liquid. For that reason, there's a fascinating statement.
Let's say you're thirsty. Are you allowed to bench if you're thirsty?
So listen to this. What do you mean? No, I mean, I ate bread. Listen to this Rama. Please listen to this Rama. Yesh omrim. This is the Shulchan Aruch. This is not a chumrah. This is the Shulchan Aruch. Yesh omrim she'eino chayv levarach midoraisa im lo shasa v'hu toiv lishtos. If you're thirsty and you did not drink in that meal, you did not raise your obligation to the level of a doraisa. I shouldn't say that this is not a chumrah. This is an additional chash, but it's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not coming out of nowhere. He says, if you're thirsty, your obligation to bench on a doraisa has not yet arrived until you drank. V'tov lizar, it's a good idea. The Rama says, it's a good idea. L'chatchila, imiktasan shasu, imiktasan lo shasu, sheyivarach misha shasa. If you have a zimun, the person should leave the benching should be the person who drank as well. But the Mishnah Berurah says, that ideally, you should try to drink in the course of the meal. Why? The Chazan says, because if I didn't, and I bench, and then I take a drink afterwards, maybe I have to bench again, because now I just obligated myself on a doraisa level, which I didn't have before. That's a chah. I eat a whole meal, I bench, but it was only a kiyum dirabanan, because I didn't drink according to that opinion. Again, this is not the mainstream opinion. We don't adopt this halacha, but in theory, that's the lundus, because it would be the same as if I ate a kazayas, and then I bench, and then I ate a lot more. Now I'm stuffed, right? So now, but you know, most likely when I had that second round, I probably had a gazayas anyway. So I'm gonna have to bench regardless. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Okay, so if you're in the middle of the day, and you have a little break, and you have a sandwich that you eat, but you don't drink anything.